Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." Those are hard and challenging words to hear, brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, Jesus said these words to his first disciples, those 12 whom he called to pick up their cross and follow after him. But he says it to you as well. You, baptized disciples of Jesus, who have the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and your heart to mark you as ones redeemed by Christ the crucified. You followers of Jesus here and now in this place, he says again to you, love your enemies. The young lawyer once asked Jesus, "Well, who's my neighbor?" We should probably likewise ask, "Well, what is love? And who is my enemy?" Because if we don't know what love is, well, how are we to practice it? And if we don't know who our enemies are, then how will we know who is supposed to be the object of this love? Love, I don't have to tell you, is a word that takes center stage in our lives and our culture, right? We say things like, "I love pizza," "I love ice cream." We all would agree with that, right? We love our sports teams, whether that be the Hoosiers or the Boilermakers. We love our house. We love our home, our pets, our jobs. And then with that same word, we use it to talk about people. I love my wife, my children. I love my friends. I love my parents. I love my cousins, my aunts, and my uncles. I love my coworkers, my boss. And I love my teacher. One word, but so many different uses. One word to describe so many different relationships between people and between things or experiences. One word, but in the way in which we use it kind of determines what's understood about, well, the context or the object of our love. It should probably go without saying, but if it's not said, well, then it'll have gone without saying, that though we use the one word love, we do not mean to say things like, "Well, I love ice cream in the same way that I love my spouse." If that's the case, your pastors will do counseling with you, all right? Or that we love our sports teams the same as we love our children. We know that it's different, right? Love, though, as the way we defined it, is often about more of our feelings or our emotion. Our use of the word includes feelings of attraction, romance. How many of you got flowers or candy hearts for Valentine's Day a couple of weeks ago? Right? We say that we love something or someone, and here's the difference, based on how that makes us feel. Right? I love ice cream because, oh, it just tastes so good. Or our spouse because, well, they love us back, right? Love for us is often based on the feelings or the emotions that we get from the object of our love. Some in this day and age have also even taken to go beyond feelings of affection or romance to mean something like unconditional acceptance of something or someone. Not judging lest we be judged, but letting someone do what makes them feel happy or what feels good, and approving of them and their actions unequivocally. Well, that's love, right? That's not how Jesus uses the word love. Love, as Jesus uses the word, is not a feeling or an emotion necessarily. It's an action. When Jesus speaks of love, he means action over emotion, action over affection, action over feelings. Love, as Jesus uses the word, is not about how it makes me feel. In fact, it often goes and flies in the face of what makes me feel good. Love is a verb. And as such, the love that Jesus practices and that he proclaims is a transformative love rather than an accepting love. Consider his love in action. To the heart of heart, to the Pharisees, to the scribes and the priests, Jesus loves them enough not to just accept them where they're at, but loves them enough to call them to repent and find their lives in him. To those who are troubled with their sin, burdened with their guilt, Jesus loves them enough to forgive them and restore them so that they might go and sin no more. His love can bring down the proud and can raise up the low and the humble. His love is not accepting, it is transformative. It's transformative because it is an action. Love your enemies. We say how? Jesus says, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Do good, action. Bless, action. Pray, action. Might be thinking to yourself, well, that's not what I first think about when I hear the word love. Well, probably not. Probably because, like me, I think of something generated from within myself to express affection or romance or acceptance of the things that I want or that I like. The love that Jesus talks about, however, is different because it's God's love. Jesus says love in this way. He's not talking about friends, family, spouse, or children. Not to say that we don't love them, but we're also loved back by them, right? He's not even really talking about things. When Jesus is talking about love in Luke chapter 6, he is talking about our enemies. Love your enemies. Love those who may not, and in fact probably will not, love you back or make you feel good. Okay, then who are my enemies? If we're to ask that question to the Jewish people in Jesus' day, they would say without hesitation, Romans. Right? They are the enemies. They are the occupiers of the land that was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They are the ones who are bringing with them the worship of foreign and false gods and bringing with them their detestable practices. They don't follow the teachings of Moses. These Romans even tax us as if we were under their authority. They're the enemies. Right? At the least, there was distrust and fear of Rome among the Jewish people, and at the extreme, bitter hatred and opposition to them. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what about you? How would you answer that question? Who are your enemies? Thinking about that, you might respond with, well, those who hold an opposing viewpoint other than your own on things, whether they be social, political, economic, or religious. You might think of your enemies in terms of other nations who oppose truth and justice in the American way, right? China, Russia, North Korea, they're the enemies. But maybe you reflect and think a little closer to home. The child who is rebelling against you, has become your enemy. A brother or sister who is constantly antagonistic toward you is an enemy. Well, surely we have examples of this in the scriptures, especially when it comes to the story of Joseph and his brothers, who were jealous and threw him in a well and sold him into slavery into Egypt. Maybe even you are tempted to see others in your church family as enemies, though we would never use that word per se, but yet you feel bothered by them or by what they do or by what they say. Though we may answer that question of who our enemies are in various ways, Jesus has a specific definition. Jesus said in Luke 6:22, "Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and they revile you and they spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man." Jesus narrows that definition, and he's talking about those specifically who oppose Christ and his reign. Jesus is talking about those who persecute the church, whether that be the Roman soldier or the Jewish religious leaders. When Jesus is talking about enemies, he is talking about those who are under the delusion of darkness, chained in the prison of sin, held captive by the devil, and as such wage war upon Christ and upon his church. He's talking about Pontius Pilate and Caiaphas, the high priest, Jew and Gentile alike, plotting and approving his crucifixion. He is talking about Pharisees and scribes, whom he calls out that they might, though, repent. He is talking even about his disciples who betray him and desert him. And he is talking about you and me and all this world in our natural state, ones who were by nature objects of wrath and at enmity with God, enemies of God. What to do with the enemies of God? Well, Jesus' answer in all of this is astounding. Love your enemies. For that is what he first did and he continues to do for you. Though Jesus did no wrong, only good for those around him, feeding them, healing them, he was hated. Though he was cursed, first by men who accused him of blasphemy and other things, and then even by God as he hung on the cross, Jesus blessed them. For those who abused him, Jesus prayed, he wept, and he pleaded to his Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Struck on the cheek, he offered the other side of his face. Stripped of his clothes, he allowed himself to be exposed on the cross. Jesus is love in action for his enemies, of whom we once were. He loves you not because you reciprocated love or affection toward him. The truth of the matter is, you and I were incapable of all that and knew not the true meaning of love until we heard that Christ first loved us. His love is action. His love suffers for you. It bears the cross for you. His love is not accepting of your sin and enmity toward him and others, but his love forgives your sin and restores you to love him and others. Jesus is love in action for his enemies, of whom we once were. His love is transformative. His love has come to you in your baptism. There you have received his forgiveness and his restoration. In holy baptism, Jesus has taken you from being an enemy to become his child, his friend, his dearly beloved, his bride, the church, his disciples. And we are called to follow where our Lord has already gone, to put his love in action for those from different political, social, economic, or religious beliefs, to put his love in action for those who come from other nations, to those in our families and our brothers and sisters in Christ, and even especially those who hate, exclude, revile us as evil for bearing the name of Christ Jesus. For this love isn't based on reciprocation. We're not called to love our enemies because they give us warm fuzzies inside, but because Christ Jesus suffered and died for them as well as he did for us. He has given the Holy Spirit that you and I might proclaim and practice this transformative love. The same love that transformed us when we were enemies of God to those current enemies of Christ and his church. In view of Christ's love for us, we will seek to do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse us, pray for those who abuse us, and forgive those who trespass against us, because Christ Jesus has first loved us in this way. We pray, help us to practice and proclaim your love, O Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, who has loved you.